Good morning to all. Yeah, it's my privilege to give the last devotion before the break. Yeah, come on. Time is important. Yes, we'll be sharing something about work. Work sounds like something that's not very spiritual, and yet most of our lives are filled with work, whether it be study work or whether it be working for an income. But work is important, and sometimes what God says about work can be that part of the law that leads us to the gospel and to the need for forgiveness. But yes, work has always got a bit of a negative tail to it, isn't it? There's something about work which is not nice. There's always too much of it, and it becomes a bit of a burden since Genesis 3. And there's often an element in it, even if we enjoy our work mainly, there will be something here or something there which reminds us that by the sweat of our face we will earn our bread. One of the Ten Commandments gives a strong hint that work is the norm. The Sabbath law, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Isn't it? Yes, the command is about the rest, the Sabbath rest, but the implication is that God expects us to give our amount of work during the other 6 days. And of course, Jesus sometimes spoke about work. In John 9, he said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day." And in the same way, we can say, well, God wants us to work in some way, however it is. The parables. Quite often we hear of the master sending the people out to work. Go and work in my fields. Isn't it? We often read it. We even hear about the rebuke of the lazy one. You lazy servant. You didn't use your gifts, that which your talents. And the Bible speaks about work sometimes. It also touches the opposite about laziness, and the people who don't like work are the people who are called L-A-Z-Y, lazy. The Bible rebukes laziness. Jesus worked hard. Just reading the Gospels, there are some places where in one day you can be astounded at how much he did. How he got up early in the morning and he was, okay, praying. Prayer is work. And he started ministering and he did these miracles and he did this teaching, and later on he went this way and that way. But you just get the idea that he filled his days with productive, helpful work. Paul knew how to work. In fact, he gave himself as an example to follow. And I'm going to read a few verses. It's not my text. I'll come to the text quite soon. But in 2 Thessalonians 3, he writes a few things about, well, we could say work. From verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate me," or imitate us, "because we were not idle when we were with you." To be idle is to do very, very little. "Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we have the right, well, we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." So the solution is quite simple if you don't like work. Don't eat. Stop eating. But if you want to eat, work. God has got a measure of work for you, whoever you are. Whether that work be, as I said, study, or whether it be work for an income, or whether it be ministry in some other way, or even at home to keep your family going, to keep some needs met. But you work. In Proverbs, there are 6 pictures of a lazy person. Of course, that's not for all of us. Maybe you work very hard. In that case, you're welcome to sleep for the next half an hour. Because it's not for you, it's for your friend who's lazy. But there are some people who maybe doze when there's a message being preached. And I think they are more likely to be the lazy person than to be the person who doesn't need the message. But let's look at 6 pictures of a lazy person in Proverbs. We look at 2 short passages. Proverbs 24 from verse 30. Proverbs 24 from verse 30. I passed by the field of a sluggard. A sluggard is a lazy person. By the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles. And its stone wall was broken down. When I saw and considered it, I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. We also look at chapter 26, from verse 13 to 16. Again, we meet this sluggard, the lazy person. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who can answer sensibly. Okay, 6 pictures of a lazy person. Those who are in danger of laziness can listen as we look at these 6 pictures. The first picture is thorns and nettles. Thorns and nettles. I went past the field of a sluggard and there were thorns and nettles all coming up. Thorns, we know what thorns are. There are plenty around. Nettles, I think those are the softer thorns. Or maybe it's just those weeds that come up with all sorts of sharp points on the leaves. You actually want to wear a glove when you pull them out. Thorns and nettles. If you don't see too many around you, look for the weeds and just say that's what he's talking about. The picture is the field of a lazy man, and the thorns and nettles just keep growing. As time goes on, they grow every day a little bit taller, a little bit taller. They keep going. They don't wait for you. It's a reminder that you get behind. You get behind. Maybe you've got a to-do list. And every few days your list, or every day your list gets a bit longer, and nothing happens to the things at the top of the list. They don't seem to be dealt with. It just gets longer. Maybe you've got a certain due date, maybe 31st of March or something like that. You've got a certain date on the calendar. And an assignment must be in, or a test must be written on that day. The date doesn't change. It stays there on the calendar. It stays there. It doesn't move. But you move. Because today becomes tomorrow. And tomorrow becomes the next day. And if you do nothing, one day suddenly, hello, I'm here, it's today. And then it's too late. Then you've been wasting your time, but you know what has happened all the time? Those weeds have been growing and growing and growing, and you've been getting further and further behind. And suddenly you are in big trouble. So the idea with this picture of the weeds growing, and I think you all know about weeds growing. We've got a plot where we don't own it, but we're staying there, and we can see. If nothing gets done, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. The lesson we see here is that we mustn't get behind. Deal with those tasks, those weeds. Deal with them as they come up. Every day, do something. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what are my tasks today? What do you want me to do today? Don't say tomorrow or some other time. Let me do what I can while the day lasts. And deal with them. If you don't, if you wait, they multiply. They get bigger. And they just increase like that to-do list. So get your tasks in good time. I think that would be good advice after looking at that first picture of the thorns and nettles. Unless you want your place to be filled with thorns and nettles. The second picture. A broken wall. We walk past this field of the sluggard. And the wall is broken down. It's got cracks, and it's got the bricks that have fallen off, and it's lying on the ground. It's broken. The wall is broken. Or maybe it's about to fall. This picture is of maintenance that is not done. Maintenance that is not done. I think if the writer of these Proverbs, is this Solomon's? I think it is. But if he lived in our day, maybe he would have used the illustration of a road which was not maintained, and the potholes that get bigger and bigger, and eventually you can't drive anymore. But here's a wall, and the cracks keep falling, and no maintenance gets done. And what happens after some years? That wall falls down. What does the person really need to do? Well, he needs to do maintenance. And I've got a life, and my life needs to be maintained. I can't just sleep and let it happen. I must maintain my relationships. I must maintain my abilities. I must maintain my life. My Greek vocabulary. I must maintain whatever there is to maintain to keep myself in the right way. If there's a door that is of wood and it's outside, if I just leave it in the sun, it's going to get dry, it's going to have big cracks in it. Eventually you can even put your finger through the cracks. But if you maintain it and you paint it with some oil or some varnish every few years, that door is going to just be great. It's not going to have cracks. It's going to be fine. It's going to keep out the weather. It's being maintained. That's the right way. It's the best way to do it. And if you've got a wall, you paint it to keep the water out. And you maintain it. If you see some cracks forming, you take your piece of iron or something and you scratch it out nicely and you fill the cracks up before they get bigger so that that wall can stand for many years. We used to stay in the other side of Pretoria, and one day we noticed there was a new business there, building bricks. And there was a big sign, Walala Wasala. That's what it was called. The English equivalent is something like, if you snooze, you lose. Or if you sleep, you'll be left behind. The idea is, if you don't use it, you lose it. This is basically what this picture is telling us. If you just do nothing, guess what? You don't do any maintenance to your life, guess what? You will be just like that broken wall. It will look terrible. Especially maintain your walk with the Lord. You say there are a few off days. You don't need to have your devotional time. You do. Maintain your life. Maintain every aspect of your life. It's worth it. It's important. The next picture, we've had the thorns and nettles. We've had the broken wall. And now we come to the third picture, the folding of the hands. The folding of the hands. The picture is of somebody folding his hands to rest, slumbering. When I see the word slumber, I think of a cat on a couch or a sofa. You know, just curled up and very comfortable, just dozing off like some of you are doing now. This folding of the hands is a picture which, yeah, I know you're trying hard. is a picture of someone who's just giving in to the temptation. You go to the library and there's somebody studying very, very hard behind the shelf there. You can see somebody studying very hard. You go around the corner to look, and there he is. It's got a nice platform there. There's a systematic theology book on the left, and there's a Greek lexicon on the right, more or less the same size, and his head is lying on the two books, and he's praying very hard. But if you come closer, you see he's not praying. You can hear the noises. He's not studying very hard. I think it started off by him saying, a little folding of the hands. It was just 5 minutes. Let me just rest for 5 minutes. And the 5 minutes became a lot more than 5 minutes. Because there was daydreaming instead of concentration. There was just the mind going somewhere else and was not at the task. Don't think it's just students. You get people who work like that as well. They're busy where they work, but their mind is somewhere else and they're not very productive at all. And after a while, if they don't catch themselves, there they are. Sleeping. Can it be? I believe it's quite possible. So what is the lesson in this picture of the folding of the hands? It's just that we should schedule time for everything. And when you're sleeping, sleep. When you're studying, study. When you're working, work. Have your different tasks and focus on them and do it. Even if it's sport, even if it's household tasks. But fill your life with quality time used well. And that little folding of the hands, those little 5 minutes, is a picture of the lazy man. I don't think we want to follow that picture. Let's look at a fourth picture. A lion in the road. The man says, there's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. I think the main idea there, nothing more is said, but I think the idea there is this person is scared to go to his fields because there's some hindrance. to him going to his field. He's afraid to go to the fields because there's a lion in the road. Something might be there. A lazy person is very quick to find an excuse to go to do something. I need to do some evangelism, but maybe the people will reject me. Maybe they won't listen to me. Or whatever it is, my foot is sore. I've got a pain here or a pain there. If it's a nice thing, I don't have those problems. But if it's something that is work, if it's something that is a little bit less pleasant, then suddenly I've got a problem here and I've got a little problem there. And the lazy person is very quick to find a lion in the road so that he can't find his way to where he must go. And there'll be excuses. The Wi-Fi was off. The electricity was off. I caught a cold. And my bicycle had a puncture. I couldn't come. And the electricity was off and whatever. I forgot my books at home. I thought it might rain. And so I didn't come. I was looking at those clouds. So basically the whole idea is I'm looking for something to keep me back from these tasks that I know the Lord wants me to do. And again, there's a better way. The better way is be committed. Be committed. Let nothing stop you. Lions didn't stop David. He killed him. The cross didn't stop Jesus. He went ahead. Prison and beatings didn't stop Paul. I think the question is, how committed are we? Are we going to let a little splinter stop us? Or are we going to say, no ways, I've got something the Lord is sending me to do. And by God's grace, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be committed to it. I think that's the response of the Christian man when he looks at these things. Yeah, we've had four. Let's go to number five. The door on its hinges. You've heard it. Maybe it doesn't trouble you as much as it troubles me. You've got this door swinging and it's open and it's closed and it's open and it's closed and it's swinging. It's not properly closed, it just keeps moving and it keeps moving. But it doesn't get anywhere. It stays on its hinges. A squeaky door. It never leaves the room. It stays right there. The alarm clock goes off, but he's still in bed. And he stays in bed. 5 minutes later, he's still in bed. He woke up enough to put off the alarm clock and to turn to the other side. But he didn't get up. And he didn't go away to his tasks. We've all heard those doors whinging. Next time you hear a door creaking and going open and closed, just remember there's a lesson there for us. It's a picture of a lazy man. And it mustn't be a picture of you. And it mustn't be a picture of me. If the alarm was set, it was set for a good reason. Make use of those precious morning hours. Get up at the right time. Do it even whether you are off or whether it's a work day, whether it's a Saturday, whatever it is. Use your time effectively, especially those precious. And I say precious, I mean at those precious morning hours. Yes, we've looked at five pictures. The thorns and the nettles, the broken wall, the folding of the hands, the lion in the road, the door on its hinges. And then there's a sixth one, it's a ridiculous one. The hand in the dish. You read it, you shake your head, you say, can it be? A ridiculous sight. The lazy man, he gets the food in his hand, and he's too lazy to bring it so that it reaches his mouth, so that it can go in. His laziness is even stronger than his hunger. That which keeps him from his task is even stronger than his desire to get that degree or to finish his work faithfully or whatever that is, or to go after souls. He's got a desire, but laziness just slows him down and brings him to a standstill. And there he sits. He's got a lovely bowl of food and his hand is down there, but it just doesn't want to go all the way to reach his mouth. It's better to just know what you are here for. To know what you are living for. To keep your vision in mind. And to pray and to labor. Remember Paul. Let him be your example that you follow. That's what he said. He said, my life must be an example to you. An example for you to follow. Night and day he was laboring. Doesn't mean he didn't sleep. But he worked hard. He had focus. He had commitment. And he did what the Lord wanted him to do. Well, looking at these six pictures, don't you hate them? Don't you look at them and say, I don't want to be one of those. I don't want my field to look like that, my life to look like that. Maybe the Lord has rebuked you, or maybe you just feel more committed to following the right way, the right way that the Lord is calling us to. There is forgiveness. We've got Easter coming up. A strong reminder that no matter what our life looks like, there is forgiveness. When we turn to the Lord, we say, Lord, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do the right way. I'm going to follow your will. And please enable me to do so. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much that you speak to us not just about religious things, but even about the mundane, everyday work. Please would you help each one of us to fill our lives with that which will please you. We pray that you will bless our labors for your kingdom, and that you will be pleased. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.